Well, happy post-tumnus day.
I don't know. I had a relaxing day yesterday. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, I just chilled.
I woke up to frantic screams.
Oh, you know, well, I had a relaxing day yesterday. I thought yesterday.
The ones in your head, or?
No, it was frantic screams from Richard, like, we're almost
wake
out.
Up!
Stop!
Wake up!
What are you doing? Wake up!
Yeah, wake yesterday up. Was a long day, Bri. I got up at like 8 in the morning, sat at my computer to work, and next time I kind of really noticed the time, it was 2 in the morning the next day. And I was like, this has been a busy day.
Yeah, it was a wacky week. So I guess for those that don't know, we just released a limited edition Germanium Tumnus. I think we announced it last week, though.
We did announce it last week. Which we launched at midnight the day of release. So Chasing Tone listeners had an 8-hour advantage over anybody else in terms of knowing about it, but they still had to get to the shop and pick it up. And we delayed that as best we could. But this was quite the popular release, Bri. I'm going to say the most popular since I have been working with you.
So, and I appreciate that. I mean, basically, I'm at the point where I think I just need to buy a machine that makes germanium diodes. That's going to be...
We covered this last week,
forget
Brian,
pedals.
I got you.
I need to buy... I need to make diodes for a living. Germanium diodes, exactly like the ones found in the Klonet.
That's all you got to do.
I got to do. You guys know where I can get some germanium, by chance?
Have you tried
Germany?
You
know, I got some children mining it in my backyard, actually, that could probably spare a few... Yeah,
you can spare a few children or a few bits of germanium.
Rocky, Rocky, take that germanium cart, send it to California.
I mean, it would be a good name for a miner, Rocky. That would be a fine name for a miner.
That would be a good name, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And some people have asked me every time they hear his name, is he named after Rocky Balboa? And the answer is, yes, he is.
No, he's named after Rocky and Bullwinkle. So we released the Germanium Tumnus. Before we talk about the sales side, let's address some of the technology and special side. Look, people have been like, oh, they're talking about germanium as if it makes a big difference. No, we're not. We're talking about it as if it makes a cool special edition of a pedal that is slightly different than the original pedal and thus justifies us making a cool new paint job and putting some premium aluminium features on it. That's really what it is. It's a whole pedal on its own right, but it's very similar sounding to the silicon because maths is maths. So don't try and, you know, tell us we didn't warn you of that. We did. Is that fair, Bri?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably, especially as a pedal builder, I should probably be a little more romantic about this type of stuff. But I tend to look at I'm the person that whenever I want a new pedal, if I can find a schematic, I'll just breadboard it real quick, you know.
And
just
I have a story about
on
that.
Shelf.
Yeah,
you know, so like that's me in a nutshell. Like I'll never be the person that's like, oh, this new Distortion Plus variant is $1,000. I think I'll just buy one just because it sounds better than all the rest. I'm just not that person. I'll be like, nah, I'll just breadboard it. I got the schematic. It'd be mathematically.
You're probably not
the same
our
thing.
Target customer on that basis,
not,
bro.
I am not the person. Yeah. And not, you know, not to knock what any other company is doing. I just, that's not my thing. I don't enjoy that sort of thing. I like things that sound good that make me enjoy playing guitar.
Right.
That's
and
what I, like.
I can tell you the response from everybody who has played this, all our demo artists, everybody loves the pedal. They also all love the Tumnus and they also all love other pedals that we make. So, you know, we're not claiming that this is the be all and end all magical unicorn poop pedal, but it is. It really is.
But it is.
And if you didn't buy one, more fool you. We warned you for weeks and weeks and weeks. We dropped subtle hints, very subtle hints, probably too subtle. We might be less subtle next time.
Well, like I said, I've had it sitting on an amp for months and months and months in my videos.
I did see somebody comment you know, I mean, more than one, actually, but a few comments that were like, Pat, remember when Wampler used to like actually kind of drop hints that something was coming? And I'm sitting here going like, not me, but
you gotta be observant.
Pay attention.
I've got prototypes in there from pedals still coming out in the future that are still sitting on amps.
Right.
There's still stuff there. We hinted at it
really strongly on this show. So I feel that we have rewarded the listeners of the show and the Patreon with some insider knowledge because, you know, that's what this whole thing is for. But yeah, it sold out super quick. Like, I mean, at one point, we did kill Google, which is quite an achievement. How did you kill Google exactly? I'm confused by that statement. I got an error that I've never got before on a website, which is, you know, a 404 error. Everyone knows what a 4. I got a 429. I was like, what the hell is a 429? And it was resource exhausted. And basically it meant that our API from our website had asked Google to send so many emails. Google went, I just don't have the capability to keep servicing you. You must now wait 10 minutes. And of course, every time we waited 10 minutes, like more sales would come in and it would try sending more emails. So it would be like, wait until 1:15 a.m., wait until 1:25 a.m. And I was like, no, I can no longer play this game, Google. So I had to switch off all emailing from the website to make Google happy again. So yeah, it was insane. And as Brian says, he woke up and not only was it out of stock, as in we'd sold all the physical stock, we'd started the back order process, which we hadn't even discussed because we were like, yeah, you'll wake up. We'll have sold, you know, maybe 20% of the allocation and the rest will go during the day. It's going to sell well. We didn't think it would sell quite this well.
Yeah, I didn't think I would wake up to, oh, by the way, we were almost sold out. Like, what? My video's not even live yet. I got to
appease the YouTubers. Hold on.
I'm going to say, Bri, I'm going to call bullshine here because a little friend of mine who works in the boat industry told me that this morning a yacht had been registered under the name Germanium by one B. Wumps Wampler of Martinsville, right, Indiana.
It resides in the Keys of Florida, apparently, yeah. By the way, I'm podcasting from Key West right now.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Did
like
your
that.
Friend also inform you that this particular yacht is inflatable and made of rubber?
Right.
I mean, that would impress me, actually. I have no problem with that at all. Maybe that's
another business we need to go into, inflatable yachts.
Inflatable yachts. Yeah, there's no way that could go wrong.
I'm all in for that. I have a car with a tow bar now. I am 100% into the inflatable yacht idea.
We need like several of the little blowholes, though, because you can't blow that up by yourself. You're going to have some help blowing an inflatable yacht up.
Well, you just need you just got to get a good compressor. I got one I can recommend to you. If clips onto your car battery, it's nice. It'll work good.
Yeah. Has anyone ever made a combined guitar and air compressor? Right, I think that's our next product.
Combined guitar and air compressor.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I was going to tell you. I got it in our notes here. There's a new collaboration between Gibson and Ingersoll Rand.
Who doesn't want to lay down some sick riffs while they're airing up their car tires? Yeah. You know?
I mean, you're mocking me as if I'm some kind of fool, but this would be actually quite an excellent way of making sure your tire pressures were working. No, not buying it? Okay, just me. All right, fair enough.
I think some things, some things aren't meant to be.
Some things aren't meant to be combined, right? Like peanut butter and yogurt. So Brian woke up, we'd sold out, back ordering had started before we'd even decided to turn on emails for back order. So the first few people who back ordered will not have received an email. My apologies. I jumped on it as quickly as I could. And then email went down. So then a load more people won't have got emails. We sold out our entire batch 2 order by probably 6 hours after launch. So that's the back order lot. So if you've ordered from us, you've paid money and it said you're on back order, what that means is we have taken your money and Brian has bought a yacht with, we have stock allocated for you. So if you have back ordered, you have guaranteed stock allocated for you as best we know, unless, you know, something disastrous happens with the transportation. And that will be shipping to customers in approximately 4 weeks from yesterday.
And none of this addresses the elephant in the room, which is,
how dare
you only did this because of the Nauticon. It's the only reason you did this. It's not like you were like, working on this for months and months and months and months and months.
No, it doesn't take months of planning and careful and argumentative conversations about exact shades of color and red and black and all of those things. We saw the Nauticon. Brian went into his garage after going to Home Depot, sprayed a load of Tumnus's gold, colored in the knobs with his red marker pen, sprayed them silver, sorry. That's it. Job's a good one. Sold it on some modded chips.
Yep, exactly. I know that's how it really went down. So I'm glad you're finally addressing it in a truthful manner.
No, 100%.
It didn't take a lot of work, a lot of hunting, or any amount of luck whatsoever. It just happened to be, we're just copying people.
We are just 100% copying people. There's no amount of 6 months work that has gone into this. Like, we were in no way peeved when we discovered Josh was releasing a con right before us and we knew nothing about it. Of course.
I would like to thank Josh, though, for, like, you know, giving...
priming the pump?
Priming the pump. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, priming the pump for us.
Is that a sexual thing?
Like, well, if you don't want to build your own, here's another alternative.
Here's someone. It'll just show up. You can just plug it in. It'll be fine.
I mean, that is good happenstance, because, again... this has been in our, like, we've got like our next year's worth of releases planned, right? So this has been in the diary to be released at this time for at least 8 or 9 months, if not 12, I would say. So we had no idea what other people were going to release because they don't tell us, funnily enough. We're not part of some cartel of pedal date release fixers. It just
there's not
exist.
A calendar full of all the pedal builders
yet. Oh, nope, we got to hold off there. Keeley's got his clon coming out. Right. Nope, got to hold off.
Call Robert and see if he can push that off for a day. Yeah, right. That doesn't happen.
I mean, that happened last time. Keeley released his Noble Screamer the day before we did the special editions of the Black 65 and Tweed 57, and... what are you going to do at that point? You're not going to go, just wait. Let's just, you know, give the people what they want, Bri.
Yeah.
So, and you gave them yesterday. You gave them your pedal.
This is a long week, man. So, I mean, I'll fill out some details here. So the version that I had of the original Germanium Tumnus was a little bit different graphical version. And it had a different color LED. And I didn't realize it until I went to go make a video. And I was like, oh, expletive. I need to have this video done by next week. And I don't have the correct version. And the factory's closed until Monday. Because I was going to like film it on over the weekend. The factory's closed. And so I have to wait for them to overnight me the newest version. So I can make my video, which basically meant for like 2 days, I just stayed up. I slept a few hours in between and just filming, editing. That's how I do it. Like a film, edit apart. So it was a long week.
You know what I've been real tempted to do, Brian? Unless it is different sonically, the one you have. I would have been filming me playing. And then I would cut all the shots of the pedal in post. That's what I would.
It's funny you say that because my wife, Amanda, she asked me, she's like, well, can't, like, you have the pedal. It just looks different. Can't you just like add in that? I'm like, well, I suppose I could literally watch the video and every time I turn a knob, turn the other one the exact same way for the exact same amount of time, et cetera, et cetera.
I've actually,
another confession to make.
I have done that before.
I've had to.
I've done that exact thing
but
before.
It's more
where
work
I'm like,
than having the actual pedal.
I'm not going to wait because, like, my luck, like the something will be wrong with the internet that day or whatever. And I'll like if I have the ability, I'm just like, I'm gonna make the sonic parts and I'll just film this later. It was a little easier than that. What I did is when I would play a part, I'd take a picture of it.
Yeah.
So the knobs were in the right place. Right, I didn't actively turn them on camera because I knew that would be a pain. And so every time I change the setting, I just take a picture of it and then I did it all in post.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I do that with amps. So like on my amp settings, that's always B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I'm producing as I'm doing the video. So
exactly.
I'm telling myself, okay, in this spot, go to the amp. Here's the settings on the amp, you know, and I'll take a picture. I'm like, all right, here's the settings on the amp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go back and I'll film B-roll of the amp doing whatever, you know, me turning the knob up to 2 o'clock or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. I basically did the same thing, but with pedals.
See,
for short clips, I've taken to just playing as whatever. Cause sometimes I'm not feeling it, you know, like I'm trying to make a little song for like a little trailer part, you know? And sometimes it's like, this isn't coming out. I got to give it a couple hours or something. So I'll film all of my practice runs because sometimes I end up using the practice run because like, oh, this actually turned out pretty good. But like, then I have to just use B-roll for the actual gear shots. And I found that that's just a little bit more efficient that way. That way I'm not stressing so much about it.
Yeah. Short videos are hard for product releases. Like I've got a couple in the can that I thought about putting out, but since we sold out, it's kind of pointless now.
Mm-hmm.
Comes on to my next point.
Yeah, they were scheduled to come out, but now it's like it's completely useless to do like any sort of marketing for it.
I mean, here, look, this doesn't sound cool. Right. You can't buy it.
Right. Remember that time that we sold this pedal out before I woke up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I had similar problems to Bri because I also didn't realize until I went to start shooting photography that the LED color on my pedal was a complete different color to the one that everyone else had. In fact, it was so much to my surprise, even though Brian pointed out it was me that made the decision, that I was like, I had to change all of the product images very quickly, and a lot of retailers were using the wrong color LED. And I was like, what idiot didn't tell me this? And Brian sent me an email going, Richard, you're the idiot. Look, here's the email. Richard,
this is actually your decision on this date. You're the one that did this.
You forgot to tell yourself.
Hey, it was busy. But so I had the same problem as Bri. And I thought about modifying mine. I thought, I'm just going to slip the LED out of there. But those LEDs are flush mounted to the board. And I'm like,
yes.
Even with my advanced soldering skills, I'm not gonna risk it. So I thought about sticking a rat's bane in because it had the same LED, but I was like, I'd have to break the switches off it. I'm not gonna do that. So I was like, you know what I could do? I could use the power of Photoshop.
I was gonna say, aren't you an expert in Adobe Photoshop?
He's really not an expert. He just has their little AI feature. He's like, change the LED to white.
That's exactly what I do every time.
Boom.
So I had to do a lot of that, but and one bit, I was trying to get a nice kind of lighting bokeh effect behind some of the photography I was doing. And I was like, I need some colored lights. This releases tomorrow. What am I going to do? And I thought, hold on a minute. I've got a box full of LEDs, some breadboards, and wire. I can make my own camera lighting. And I did. I took a load of LEDs.
Nice.
Put them on a strip board. Brian's just had an email that has made him.
Sorry, I'm not. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just saw a mention of. I just got sent. Literally, just now, I got sent this. People are now starting to post on Reverb for these Tumnus pedals to be at.
Well, let me guess. The first one, the flipper, is going to go
$500.
I was going to say $700. Oh wow! Whoa. Look at that.
So anyway, back to my limited edition blue LED version that I am selling on my Reverb shop for $10,000.
by the way, I have one with different graphics. Yeah. How much does that work?
Yeah. Hey, I'll even sign
Daddy
mine.
Needs a new boat.
I can get two rubber rafts.
Bri, I made myself a little colored light out of a breadboard to make a photo with, and it worked really nicely. I was like, this is excellent. I was pretty proud of myself. So I took all these beautiful photos. I was like, I've got a nice campaign ready photos. Every week, I'm just going to, you know, maybe put one of these lovely photos out. And then we sold out. I've used all of the photos to announce that we've sold out or joined the pre-order list. And that's it. There's just no point in using them anymore. So, it's been a different release than normal, Bri.
It's definitely a bit odd. Yeah.
Yeah, but it feels good. It feels good, you know, to be kind of exciting again. It feels like people have not been as excited by some of our previous releases where we've tried to, you know, break the mold a bit, do something a bit different. What we should have done, Bri, is just taken every single pedal that you've ever released, change two components inside it, paint it, put some new knobs on it. Jobs are good.
Well, I think it only works if it's something like the Klon or something.
Yeah, no, I'm making light.
Maybe a King of Tony sort of thing, but nah.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did you say King of Tony? Now the King of Tony would be the pedal for me. It makes everything sound like the Sopranos music. That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the King of Tony. Hey, Tone, ain't no way that the germanium diodes is going to make that much of a difference, eh?
It did make me think, though, Bri, the reason, you know, I make light about it, but the reason we did this is we all love the Tumnus, and it is a nice new flavor of Tumnus, and it feels good and all of that. But the Tumnus is one of your great pedals, and it did make me think, what other ones of your great pedals could we do something like this to? Not just, oh, let's put germanium diodes in, but, you know, maybe a little sweet refresh. And I think for me, my personal request would be, we got to do something to the Euphoria at some point, Bri. I would love that pedal.
To, but it's... But I've revamped that a number of times and just not done anything with the circuit. But... So here's the other thing. So I am actually, well, as long as I have time, the plan is I'm going to be coming out with like a custom shop section on the website, which is just where like a handful of pedals every month that are just custom circuits. There's only like 8 or 10 of them because I don't want them to be part of the line. But I've done so many different designs of things over the years. And rather than just let it sit in a drawer, I'd rather somebody play them, you know? So why not just make a handful of new custom shop designs and, you know?
And bring the Leviathan back for a full-scale release. You're right. Actually, absolutely. Did I say that out loud?
I would say a revamp of the Leviathan because I would do the EQ a little different now, I think.
I think you'd do the EQ a little, I think... Some more emphasis on the low mids would be good because
The shelving goes off on it.
Yeah, but it's not bad, but I think that where that circuit shines, and I would say this about everything, but where that circuit really shines to me is on downtuned guitars. And at least as far as the style of breakup that it does. Mm-hmm. But it did pretty well, the original. I really liked that. But I feel like it needs shifted down just a little bit.
See. Yeah, I was trying to think of different Tumnus variants we could come up with, Bri.
Why? You want to sell pedals or something?
Yeah, there's all kinds of diodes we can use.
LEDs.
We do MOSFET.
I thought we could make one out of titanium, call it the Titaniumness. That would be quite nice, like follow Apple's iPhone 15. And then I thought, hey, why don't we make it with a garlic-flavored enclosure? We could call it the Humnus.
The Humnus.
The Humnus.
Or you know what? The goop inside is just Humnus.
Yeah. It comes with a tube of Wampler Humnus. I like it. The Humnus.
Now we're talking.
And then I realize what we really need to create for our burgeoning shoegaze market, Bri, is the Glumnus. It basically turns everything you play into a minor chord. Every single chord. Right. No matter. What? You can play Happy Birthday through it. And it will sound like it was written by The Cure meets Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. The Glumnus.
I like this.
I got another idea. What if we swap the diodes with my nicotine gum and we call it the Gumnus?
The Gumnus, yeah. Uh-huh.
World's first chewable Martin's Villain diodes.
You know what? I think we can call this entire conversation the Dumbness. That's what we can call it. Yeah.
I mean, if you were...
I thought it was the Funmus. It's not the Funmus? Okay.
If you were to make an acoustic pedal, Bri, we could call it the Strumness. How about that? Now we're cooking.
Dad jokes galore on this one. I love it.
The first one to record us a merry funmas Christmas tune will get a signed copy of the Tumnus graphic.
A free tube of
signed by my daughter.
Of hummus goop.
And a free tube of hummus. Do you guys like hummus? Do you even?
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's great.
I hated it because my wife used to buy the stuff from the shop, the store. But when you have it fresh in a restaurant, that's beautiful. I do like some fresh hummus.
Oh man!
Oh yeah!
Yeah, it's great.
There's. I told you the guys the story about the hummus shop, and the, like the weirdness that happened with the guy. He rolled up to me on the. In his Mercedes, I'm like, "What are you doing here?" Type of. I told you guys that story, didn't I?
Maybe.
Doesn't ring a bell.
But not a lot does ring a bell with us right now because we have had 2 hours sleep all week.
Well,
stop
me if it starts ringing bells. So, I heard on a Scary Stories podcast I listen to, the guys sometimes visit Portland, and they were talking about how there's this incredible hummus place in a suburb of Portland, which is like 10 minutes from my house. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I guess I should go try this hummus place. But they're like, it's always really weird. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're not. And he's like, and last time we went in there, they just kind of all turned around and looked at us like we weren't supposed to be in there. And he's like, it's just a very strange operation, but they do make the best hummus. We
have talked about this. I've basically accused it of being a front for drugs and or Tara Misalata. Choose wisely.
Exactly. All right. So we've told that story before. I won't repeat the rest.
But it was a good story, and I enjoyed it the first time. Brian has forgotten it, so you could have carried on. But I thought
you could have carried on because it's been purged from RAM. So,
well, in a nutshell, I went to explore. I took some pictures to send to the hosts of this show because they're pretty active on their media and stuff. It's like, is this the place? And as I was taking pictures, a man in a very very nice Mercedes SUV with blacked out windows rolled up to me and was like, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you taking pictures?" I'm like, I'll be leaving now. No worries. A lot of weirdness for a hummus operation. I did eventually get a tub of it, and it's very good. So, you know, who knows?
Eventually disconnected from the internet. Blake has frozen.
Not me.
He pulled the plug.
There he is. He's back.
No, I never left. Richard was talking, and Brian was frozen.
Nope, untrue. Nope.
That probably means I'm about to crash. So if I crash, so be it. That was probably big falafel. They were coming after you there. Oh, I think I made the exact same falafel joke last time.
It's been like Tumnus, 2 years.
We told you it was limited. You should have bought one. If you didn't buy one, don't spend £700 buying one on Reverb. Honestly, unless it's off me or Brian. In which case, spend twice that. No, just make one. No, buy a regular Tumnus or a deluxe or a special edition.
Or the Humnus.
Or the Humnus. So I think we've done the Tumnus.
Or help me find more germanium diodes, one or the other.
Well, that would also work.
Yeah, find your local electronics supply shop. Go in and ask if they have any germanium diodes.
But the thing is the 134NA diode, 34NA, is that what you would call it? It is not a unique diode, but it's finding them with that right forward voltage, isn't it? Getting the spec. That's the tricky part, because I think you can buy the
diode. Some of this is proprietary, but that's a good way to put it. So yeah, there's a specific set of characteristics that you're looking for when you measure.
Yeah. And that is that they are 2 inches long and made of glass. That's the that's a diode.
There's a trick. First, bub. First, you got to be germanium, and it's got a diode. It's got to diode.
And wait, diode?
Diode. Can't die young. Got a diode.
This is some serious Martinsvillian humor right here. Right above my head.
I was looking for my crickets button, but I couldn't find it in time. Mm-hmm. So just imagine, you know, maybe I can do that in post. No, that takes way too much effort. Imagine that there was crickets right there.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Just use the power of your imagination.
Yeah. I just imagine we got some clever sound effects right now. Maybe imagine some music.
Oh, wait, there it is. Wait, it's not playing yet. Hold on.
Let's pause while he does the thing.
Okay.
Damn it.
No crickets okay, yet.
It's not going to play.
It's but not going to play.
Just imagine if there was crickets. Yeah.
Thanks, Bri.
Anyways.
Speaking of crickets, yeah. Have you guys heard of the invasion of Canadian super pigs?
No.
Super pigs?
Please tell me more.
Like bacon pigs?
Exactly, bacon pigs. Apparently, Canadian super pigs have been jostling into your country and taking over because these pigs weigh between 120 and 150 stone. Now, I'm not being funny. That's a lot of me. You know, I thought I was a big guy, but a pig that weighs like literally me multiplied by a reasonable number is it's more than two before you say anything.
So what you're saying is there's a crew of wild hogs that are taking over.
Well, hold on, Tim Allen?
That's right. The gang of wild hogs.
I'm saying these Canadian super pigs are coming for your American porkers. You'll all be eating Canadian. But look, 120 stone.
Wait. Nobody knows what that means, Richard. How many pounds is that?
Yeah, what is it? What does let's use like traditional measurement. How much?
Wait a minute.
How much does
the stone is a unit of pounds?
Way.
14 pounds.
Yeah, not for the rest of the world.
Yeah, 14 pounds. 6.7 pounds or something. I don't know what it is.
It says 14 pounds is what it says on the
So let's do the math together here. If it's 120 times 14, what do we end up with in pounds?
Yes.
I can tell you, Bri, it is more than you weigh. They're actually doing the maths here.
It's almost a 2,000 pound hog. It's a 1,960 pound hog.
A 2,000 pound hog, Bri. Now, of that 2,000 pounds, some of that, let's say 50 pounds, is trotters and innards. But that probably leaves.
No, it's a lot more than that. That's a lot more guts than that.
Trotters? What is a trotter?
That's what's on the end of a pig's foot, Bri.
Yeah, the hoofs.
Trotter?
Trotter. Yeah, a trotter.
I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the word trotter? That makes sense.
Not in relation to the anatomy of an animal, no.
Now you have.
Well, you've learned something new. Over here, the word trotter is often used instead of hoofs because it particularly applies to a pig's hoof. It's also used to identify a family of hoodlums from the Peckham area, but that's a whole different story. So, yeah, super pigs are invading.
So 2,000, are they like wild boars that are coming in here? Is that what's going on? They're like wild pigs, I'm assuming?
I'll admit, all I know is how much they weigh and where they come from. Because they were the only two facts that I thought were exciting. I didn't need anything else. But a cursory search of the Google will probably tell you exactly where super pigs are coming from. They're
Canadian Super Hog is
Alberta.
The name of my next band.
They're migrating.
Yeah, that's a good band name. Yeah.
They're migrating from Canada into Minnesota. So if we have Minnesotans, watch out for Canadian super pigs.
I just see the Canadian the Minnesota pigs like, oh, those big pigs are coming over here, don't you know?
Don't you know?
You got to watch out for those Canadian super hogs. I tell you, my brother met one on the border here the other day. That thing, he was about as big as his Geo Metro. I tell you what, it was a serious hog.
Some of them can weigh up to 250 stone. You know, that's 3,000 odd pounds. That's huge.
And you just see me over here going like, you don't back say. really? Very interesting.
It is interesting, though, isn't it, how we consider... The pig is a very intelligent creature, but we do just consider them as mobile bacon delivery systems. That's literally
That's what they are.
Yeah. maybe... Brian, have you ever thought about farming a pig?
Not pigs. I'm not a fan of them. I like eat them, not raising them.
Have you ever owned any form of porcine creature?
No.
I think you should buy a micro pig this Christmas.
Pigs are really weird. Like, in that they... Like, well, how many animals do you know that You simply release them into the wild, and all of a sudden they morph into something completely different than what they are when they're domestic. A wild boar and a domestic pig, the only difference is one got released in the wild. They're genetically the same. So why do they turn into these giant, hairy, crazy-looking things? It's so bizarre. Like I can't think of anything else that does that.
Well, humans, if you release me into the wild, give it 2 weeks and I will come back looking exactly like Sasquatch. I will be hairy.
It reminds me of Peter Griffin on when Peter Griffin goes out into the wilderness and comes back as a Sasquatch type of character. That'd be Richard.
That would exactly be me. Except that will never happen, Bri, because if it did, who would be here to scream at you while you're asleep about things happening in the world of Wampler?
That is true. You know, So I just found something that I wanted to bring up. How's that for a segue?
But okay.
Something that's funny, like there's always like funny comments and mean comments, right? But this is funny comments. Mm-hmm. Someone told us we should call it the Not Autumnus. Because, you know, the jock got there. I thought that was clever. Yeah,
I liked the guy who went, "Huh, you've released a pedal that's basically the same as the Nauticlon, but has been assembled, and you charged $79 more. What do you think you're playing at?" And we're like, yeah, that's how much warranty, labor, and packaging costs, my friends. You know, right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's actually
welcome
pretty
to the
good
world
value.
Of overhead.
Yeah, I can assure you that our... And then
California overhead at that.
Yeah.
10 times more expensive.
Well, and I saw, it's you can't please everybody. When the Nauticlon was released, I saw multiple people be like, "Hey, I'd pay 50, 60 bucks more if it was just assembled." Like,
there's a lot of that. Yeah.
So I think like, what I'm like,
you're in luck. I understand that.
You actually can. You actually can get a Klon circuit for 50 mm-hmm. or 60 bucks more. Mm-hmm. I'd like to introduce you to our Tumnus and Tumnus Deluxe, by the mm-hmm. way.
I mean, honestly, I know it's a great circuit because it's a game changer. Bill Finnegan hit upon a very special formula. Because
absolutely.
It does.
He must have magic ears because it does sound amazing. It's a great circuit.
I remember before I got my first Tumnus, I remember thinking I can't wait to get it and dreaming about it because I was like, this thing sounds amazing. And when I put it on my board, I was like, this is the pedal for me. It's my second or third most used pedal, I would say. Maybe first on
If I'm going into a dirty amp, I'm almost always using that. Yeah. That was Tube Screamer sometimes, but that adds a little bit too much mid sometimes. And I like a Klon type of circuit going into a dirty amp is just the.
It's just it's the stuff
thing
of life.
For me.
Yeah. I absolutely adore it. And tonight before the show, I got to play the guitar for the first time this week through an amp because this week has been like quickly pick up a guitar, have a noodle for 20 minutes. Oh, I better go and take another photo of this pedal that's already sold out. That's been my entire week. But today I was like, I've achieved everything I needed to achieve. I can crank it. And I cranked it. I put my Tumnus Germanium on.
Easy.
I didn't crank my hog. That's not what I'm saying. I cranked the amp, put the Germanium Tumnus on. Termanium Jumnus. Now that's a pedal. The Termanium Jumnus.
Termanium
Jumnus.
Termanium Jumnus.
From James Cameron. It is the new Termanium Jumnus. I like it.
I sense a graphic coming soon.
Is that a secret agent? Or is that like a, what is
like
that?
A Terminator.
Is that like a Jason Bourne type? Like a Terminator?
Yeah, it's like the diodes, they just morph into whatever they decide they want to morph into.
Has anyone
sometimes
ever used?
Sometimes it's germanium, sometimes it's not.
Has anyone
Termanium
ever used mercury
Jumnus.
In a pedal, Bri?
Hell, I don't know.
There's an idea.
Well, you're the pedal builder. You should know.
I've never used mercury in a pedal, but I'm not saying... I don't study the history of stuff that much. So.
I am a little bit of a pedal builder. I've got a bit of a reputation, and it is on the back of this reputation that I would hereby like to proclaim that I have ordered another kit for Christmas. Did I tell you this?
No, but my sound clip won't play. God dang it. There you go.
That's the introducing the British King of Fuzz. The British King of Fuzz, Sir Richard Oliver, has procured another kit and shall proceed to flow solder upon these great lands.
I mean, look, this is going to be controversial, Bri, but I've bought a Big Muff type kit. Now, a lot of people would say the Big Muff is a fuzz, and they'd be right, because I, as the British King of Fuzz, would not build anything that wasn't a fuzz. But actually, sure,
of course,
is it more of a distortion than it is a fuzz, Bri? And does that depend on which version you've got more than others?
I feel like yes, is how I feel about it.
There's such a... I don't think I've ever put it on a scope to give you an accurate answer.
But like, so like the Russian ones are...
I mean, I think like, it's... To me, it's more distortion-y.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if it's an actual square wave, which would be fuzz, or if it's just square-ish. Usually a lot of fuzz.
Hold on, I'm making some notes here, Brian.
Square-ish.
Distortion-y, square-ish. Let me just look. Oh, yeah, they both exist in the
I have a list of made-up terms like chewy and organic and stuff like that.
Glassy.
So fuzzish is another one of those. Distortion-y. Tony.
Some people ask the same question about
Sopranos.
Oh, Tony. You got to take care of the business, okay? All right. Some people say the same thing about a rat, though. They're like, oh, I think that's more of a fuzz.
Kind of. I mean, once you turn the gain up past noon, yeah, it gets a little more fuzzy. Yeah.
Yeah. I consider the rat to be a distortion, but I understand it does have some fuzz-like characteristics. And it's a great fuzz, Big Muff, actually. I consider it to be a fuzz with some distortion characteristics.
That's true. And in fact, I detail this and talk about this quite a bit in a specific video at a video found on guitarpedalcourse.com.
Oh, actually. No. You don't say.
I'm a bit sleepy again, guys.
The Wampler Blueprint actually details these types of pedals that you can't really call them a distortion or a fuzz. And it goes into... you know, a lot of detail among that type of thing.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, are you awake over there?
Epiphone! What happened there? Sorry, I just some words started being said, and it's like being hypnotized.
Guys, I just mentioned guitarpedalcourse.com. That's it.
So, segueing away a lot.
as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I want to talk about myself. I got myself a Christmas present.
What
you want to see it?
Do we want to see it?
It's a germanium.
Is the Pope a bear? Do Catholic? No, hold on, wait a minute.
You guys ready?
Hold on. It's a black box.
It's a brown box, but still.
It's a trumpet. Why on earth would you buy a trumpet?
It's a Suzuki Omnicord. Yay.
Now,
and it doesn't look like a baritone, though.
It's not. It's like a weird old synth.
Yeah. It's a really weird.
I have already, my friend. Of course really? I have.
I'd like to hear this.
Tell us how you play it, firstly. Does it just make chords when you press one button?
So it's got all of the buttons. It's got 27 different chords that you can choose from. You can choose the chord level.
So that's 24 more than anyone needs.
You only need 12. You only need two.
What?
Yeah.
Depending on what key you're in. You just move that chord up.
Key?
In the key of Q.
What is it? I'm already in here. I don't need to unlock the door.
who plays in keys anymore?
Yeah, what's that even
mean? Boomers.
Yeah,
I play all the keys all at once.
You're not going to constrain me by your keys, man.
Don't put me in a box, Mr. Wampler.
So you can play the single chords, but the fun part is on the side. Did you notice the little? Hold on.
Get it out. Show us more. You take it out of the case.
All right,
this is terrible audio podcasting. By the way, as he shows,
no, because
both of us.
See this little strip here?
Yes. Is that like a touch-sensitive slider?
Exactly. So you, and depending on which chord you're pressing, you strum this like a harp or something, and it. But you can also touch it like a keyboard, and it will right. play in key with any of the chords you've selected. And
wow, it's you know what you need to make it a bit more guitar-like. You need a OnePlus strumness pedal. That's the perfect pedal for that.
I need a strumness to go with this Omnicord.
That's
but it's mostly
or germanium jumness might work as well.
Germanium jumness.
In fact,
this thing has gotten really popular because of the Gorillaz. You know that group, the Gorillaz. I'm assuming you're familiar.
I'm familiar with the group of primates.
The monkeys? How about the monkeys?
I'm familiar. You guys know the Gorillaz. Come on.
You're making.
Oh, hold on. The monkeys. Wasn't that Davy Jones?
Yeah.
That was, yeah. And who else was in the monkeys? Howard Furlong?
No, not Yes. We're not talking about Yes.
Oh, Rick Wakeman. He wears a cape. Now that is impressive. He can probably play an Omnicord.
What does Rick Wakeman have to do with anything? I'm so confused.
What doesn't Rick Wakeman have to do with anything? So
touche.
So we're talking about Damon Albarn, Damon Albarn's Electronica group, which I did not realize also included none other, Bri, than Del the Funky Homo Sapien, who made the song Mr. Dobolina from the 90s, which sampled Parliament Funkadelic, which is one of the greatest funk bands of all time.
It's true. It's true. This is all true.
Tell me you have heard Mr. Dobolina, Bri.
Good God, Richard. Stop making up band names.
Come on, Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina. Are you telling me you've never heard that track?
Was it blues or country?
It was Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
It was
80s
hair metal, Brian. Oh.
It was 90s hip. You've never heard Mr. Dobolina? Nope. Oh, you're in for a treat, my friend. I think he's actually...
In the 90s, I was into like Alice in Chains and that sort of thing in the 90s.
You've never heard Del the Funky Homo Sapien? I'm so confused. No. How have I heard Del the Funky Homo Sapien and you
Because
haven't?
I am not cultured at all. You're talking to a guy that eats like two things.
That's what
butter.
I'm saying, and one of them is cultured.
Yes.
Peanut butter and
it literally is culture.
That's my...
It is a massive
it's culture.
His That's seminal right. album, I Wish My Brother George Was Here, is literally a love letter to the funk of George Clinton, and it's one of the greatest hip-hop LPs of its era. I played That's that fantastic. On repeat. I love that. So I always have been... Look, the Gorillaz, I made like they're very big over here.
I have an idea. We need a Spotify playlist that's just things for Brian to hear for the first time.
Or
that would just chasing... be 80% of what's on Spotify.
We should make a Chasing Tone playlist for our patrons.
That'd be a bad idea. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We're talking. Yeah. First track, Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina.
Speaking Second of, track, Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz, so that Brian can understand what that is.
Which is a great track, by the way.
Yeah. Why I brought it up is that whole thing is the Suzuki Omnicord.
Yes.
That it's the rock one preset on the Suzuki Omnicord is that song. And I, of course, did that immediately when I got it.
I wonder if you could taste the biscuit with that. So, anyway, speaking of Patreon members,
someone let me out of my cage. Oh, that song
we have
slaps.
Much more to talk about, but we're out of episode time.
Oh, geez,
there's only one
are.
Thing we can do in this situation, which is make another episode.
Okay.
And put it on Patreon.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You know, which oddly enough is patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. If you're just curious for, you know, more episodes, you know, let's say you've been through all of our episodes. You're like, I really just want to keep hearing these two masterful linguists here and Brian. You know, that's it's really what I'm looking for. So you could do that. But first, we should give a huge shout out to our executive producers. Are we?
Oh, let's do
it. Are we winging it this week, or are we? Do we have a guest this week, or
Brian,
anyone know?
Brian, we've had 1 minute sleep between us. We're winging it, dude.
Okay, we're winging it, and if I can get someone else to fill my spot, maybe I do. We'll find out. But anyways, I'll do it. I'll do it. Fine, I'll do it.
You're going to
do it live. We're going to do it live.
All right, we'll do it live.
Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina, Mr. Bobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina, Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina. Oh, sorry. I thought we'd finished recording.
Are those all executive producers?
That's it. We're done.
Okay. All right. So huge thanks to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Nighthaus, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver, and his fantastic band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Reed R. Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fornays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicia Makes Annoying Memes, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of Man the Helm Podcast, who he just did a little ditty on TikTok about the Chasing Tone Podcast. Thank you, Jake. Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spano, The Twain Kings, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter from the 40 Watt Podcast, another great podcast about guitar stuff, Mark Bauman, and Christopher Logan. We'll see you on Patreon.
Hold on, you forgot one.
I did?
Yeah.
I forgot an executive. Oh my.
Oh, yeah, you know there what? It is. It's, it,
I hold am on. Fired.
It, no, here it is. It's Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina. There it is. Yeah, you're right. There he is. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.